Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our phone number is 626-427-7678. You can find us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. With me this week is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing grand, son.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So here we are. We're back, and it's tournament time.
Oh, yeah.
The NCAA Men's Tournament. And right now going on is the play-in games, the first four. Manhattan and Hampton are first up.
Hampton's been ahead the whole way.
Hampton has been ahead the whole way, and a lot of people have Manhattan winning this game.
Uh-oh.
Now, well, it's not looking out too good, but it's still early in the second half, so a lot can happen.
Well, these in the big scheme of things, these are just exciting if maybe you bet on it, but, I mean, we're not expecting these guys to do anything, are we?
No. I mean, the one thing that the bracket makers had, a good idea they had, was not to just make them the 16 seeds playing, because they immediately get knocked out after that. It's exciting just to watch it and
right.
get you excited and whet your appetite for what's coming up. But
these are also Rams.
Exactly. What they did do was smart and make them 11 seeds or more bracket buster positions. Where
right.
they can come in, they get sort of that head of steam. Come in and really kind of blow people up.
But it's an appetizer. It's not the main course.
It is. It is. Because technically, this is now the first round.
Right.
Which confuses a lot of people when they say, no, the first round. No, the first round was those playing games.
Are they wild cards? What are they?
Yeah, I guess you call them wild cards. Well, the way they did is the last four to clinch
right.
versus the last four bubble teams.
Oh.
So those at-large bids. I don't know. It's still a work in progress because it's either this or they go and expand it to a 96-team field, which is just too big. Are you doing any brackets this year?
No, I haven't, but I was looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's more than a million to one. I mean, to figure this thing out properly.
Well, it's...
The odds are getting this right, I mean.
It's improbable and likely impossible to get a perfect bracket, and then to...
Maybe it's 10 million to one.
It's a really big number. The odds of you doing it is very unlikely. But, I mean, just really all you have to do is find a pool online or with friends or maybe at your work.
Right.
And you just go from there, and you just have to have the best bracket. Hopefully you're playing against people who don't know as much.
You can't help but talk about this tournament and not mention Kentucky.
Kentucky has an undefeated regular season. I mean, I believe they're 34-0.
Shocking.
I mean, yeah, this is big for them. This is big time. And it's hard to find any team that's going to come and beat them. But you know what's going to happen.
Somebody's going to beat them?
Yeah, it's very likely that they are. You know, it might. It might not. They're making the Final Four. I don't think they're going to get beat before
right.
the Final Four. From there, it could be Arizona. It could be Wisconsin. It could be a couple of different teams. Even in the finals, maybe if Virginia makes it through, or if you're a Duke supporter and you see them going through, Gonzaga. Butler, somebody along the line might, but it's very unlikely it's going to happen before they
Vegas
reach Indianapolis.
Says. Vegas has you got to bet 135 to win 100.
Yeah,
so.
I think that would be, you know, if you want to play the smart money, that would be where it is, because you're unlikely to lose that. That's gonna go through and help you. A lot of surprises in this year's bracket. UCLA being the biggest one. Joining in after having a pedestrian season this year. A lot of people were talking about Murray State was probably the biggest one that kind of got blown out.
I don't even know where Murray State is.
They're from the Ohio Valley Conference.
Oh,
they
okay.
were 27-5, and they went 16-0 in their conference, but they lost the automatic bid game, their tournament
really?
Game. Yeah, they lost to Belmont. Who, if I remember correctly, I think Belmont's playing one of these.
No, Belmont was closed for the summer, the winter.
Well, believe it or not, there's a school there, and nice. They play through. So, I mean, I have several different brackets going on. I have a couple brackets through the Yahoo Fantasy League. I have some brackets in a CBS Sports League. But most of them have Kentucky coming out.
Well, who do you have besides that?
If not Kentucky, Gonzaga. If not them, I think it's just actually, it's either Gonzaga, Kentucky, and that's about it.
You'll watch the early games or you'll wait till they get down to 16?
No, the early games I like because it's one after another after another. That's right. Really exciting if you have the time. Like, you know, through my regular job, believe it or not, I don't do this all the time, podcasting. Oh, okay. This is not a full-time gig for me. So, you know, where I'm not able to watch the games. Now, the great thing is streaming. They're better with the streaming of it, where you can watch it on your devices. You can watch it. You know, I can understand if you're in a cubicle, that would be a great place to just kind of watch and stuff. But where I am, that doesn't work. So, you know, I keep track as best I can. But those Saturdays, those Sundays, that's great. When they land on those early rounds, when they land on a Saturday or Sunday, that's a great thing to do.
So football's over. Baseball hasn't started.
Yeah.
It's a great filler.
Yeah, this dominates it. Between this and the NBA and the NHL seasons.
More popular than the World Series?
The tournament? Absolutely.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Because this is money. This is a bet. This is where I heard a stat many years ago that $350 billion is exchanges hands during the month of March pertaining to the tournament.
Well, I imagine that it's a lot of small money in office pools.
Office pools and friends, and all. It's not just
Vegas.
Well,
it's true. I mean, the Super Bowl. I mean, that only goes off once, so here you got a lot of. A lot of opportunities.
Absolutely. And everybody can play it. Maybe not necessarily for money, but you just need a bracket.
Right.
You need to fill it out, and away you go. You can keep track on your own, or you can do anything else like that.
Sure.
So it's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to the whole month until it finishes off in Indianapolis on April 6th. So that's going to be exciting.
Fantastic.
So speaking of the NFL, the free agency period opened up. And, boy, it was exciting right off the bat.
Trades are us. Never saw so many.
Trades, and a lot of big signings right off the bat.
Right.
Which was very impressive.
Ndamukong Suh.
Ndamukong Suh would probably be the biggest one going to...
Dolphins.
Is he going to be an Albert Haynesworth? Is he going to be somebody different? Is he actually going to do well? I think he'll do well. I don't think he's... He has enough drive, I think, for the game that he's not just going to take the money. And
the $40 million guaranteed.
It's a lot. It's a lot. But, you know, for Miami, that's kind of what they need. They need that. I think they could have used some more weapons.
They were looking for good citizens after that debacle a couple of years ago.
Well, I guess they figured this is the demon they can see. His problems are on the field and not off the field or in the locker room.
Right.
Stuff like that. But, Ndamukong Suh went off the board really early. DeMarco Murray, the big one, going from Dallas.
Is there gas left in that tank
a little bit
for this year?
Yes.
After all he did last year, it's a lot of yards.
A little bit. I didn't say it was a full
392
tank. I'm not saying it's full. I'm not saying it's empty. I'm saying there's a little bit.
We shall see.
Now, I say, we've had this discussion, I say because not only did the Eagles sign DeMarco Murray, they also signed... Ryan Matthews, San Diego Charger running back, and they have Darren Sproles. So that's like a three-headed monster in the backfield. Are all of them dominant? No. And I really don't think Murray's going to be dominant. But I think it helps.
Enough pieces of the puzzle.
Yes. And I think...
But how about a team that got rid of their quarterback, their top wide receiver, their top running back? I mean, that's a clean sweep. You got to give the guy credit. I mean, he could have just stayed there on 10-6.
Mm-hmm.
Not made a lot of moves, kept his job. So he's really a riverboat gambler here.
Absolutely, and you think about all the...
Bradford, he's injured a lot often.
He is, absolutely. And this is a big risk to take, trading Foles for Bradford.
But he can play quick ball.
He can, and this is similar. This is a spread offense. I mean, he played spread offense in Oklahoma.
Right, exactly.
So this is what he needs. And
could be a fit.
And the Eagles' offensive coordinator is Bradford's old offensive coordinator, his first couple of seasons.
Comfort now.
At the Rams.
That's great.
So this, I think, is going to work out well. Now, if he gets hurt, they know that Sanchez is viable. He's viable. Is he the best? No.
Right.
But he's viable. And we also had this discussion. I'm not much for conspiracy theories, but this one I'll put a little credence to. Marcus Mariota had his pro workout day at the University of Oregon, and he tanked it. Not a lot of people were impressed.
Right.
Does that mean he's not going to fall out of the first round like Geno Smith did? But I think it might be those kind of things where, like, I'm still here at 20, and Philadelphia.
Really?
And, Philadelphia would take I don't think Philadelphia is not going to trade up anymore, but I think Marcus might have been just thinking to himself, you know what? I would like to play with Chip. Let me not do my best here.
No, he's not going to fall at 20.
I mean, it'd be interesting if he did. That would be interesting. But it's just a conspiracy theory. It's one of those things that I've been thinking about.
What about getting back to the Rams? Because they traded. They got Foles. They gave up Bradford.
Yeah.
The recent history of the Rams trading with somebody from the NFC East, you kind of think they get the better deal of it.
That's right. The last time they did that was with the Redskins for RG3, and they got a lot of pieces. They got Tavon Austin is a really good wide receiver.
Like six pieces to the puzzle.
Right? Yeah, a couple of them on their defensive side of the ball, which is their strength.
Right.
So, and they've only added to it. They signed Nick Fairley also from the Lions. So, first of all, the Lions' defensive line, they lost to, and they only gained Haloti Ngata.
Oh, defensive from the Ravens.
Yeah. So they didn't really get a fair value for that, losing two and getting one, an older piece. So the Rams they're increasing their strength because their defensive line was very strong last year.
Now, what about this rumor that Drew Brees could be?
Well, who was it? I had heard because last year when it looked like the Saints were really sinking last year, but I believe it was Sean Payton basically told everybody in the locker room that nobody's safe except Brees, or like basically like
he's Mr. New Orleans.
But just saying to everybody in the locker room during the season last year, you're all expendable except maybe two of you.
And now, the other one left.
Yeah,
Jimmy Graham.
They traded Jimmy Graham to the Seahawks.
That's going to help the Seahawks a lot.
I think it will help the Seahawks. I think the loss of Max Unger is a big loss.
True. They must have something in mind.
True. I don't know. I've told you before that I think this is sort of closing the doors, barn doors, when the horses are out. You know, I think they might be a little bit concerned with the last play of the Super Bowl.
I think so.
I think they would have been like, gosh, if we only why did we throw that to a 5'9" wide receiver?
Wait, they had the guy. Just hand it to him.
Had the man. But here's my thinking, that they might just be too overly concerned with, if only we had a big tight end to throw to, because they didn't throw to a single tight end in
that
Super Bowl.
Well, if you're going to put 8 in the box to stop the beast, I mean, that middle is going to be open for Smith. So
I agree.
Being made there.
Yeah, no,
And the guy can block. I mean, he's the man.
Yeah. Jimmy Graham, block? Yeah. I don't know. He doesn't do...
Downfield, no?
No, he's not much for that.
Really?
Well, maybe downfield, but not off the block.
No, I'm talking about downfield.
Yeah, but I don't
know. He's not going to be catching all the time. Beast needs help down there.
True, but how much of a loss? How much is the loss of Max Unger at center?
How much the loss of the Super Bowl gonna like?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think the loss of the Super Bowl really kind of affected
them. You make them the favorite in the NFC.
You kind of have to, because they've gone to back-to-back Super Bowls. Unless Green Bay, Green Bay, all they've been doing has been re-signing their players.
They didn't sign Cobb, did they?
Yeah. If I remember correctly, Randall Cobb re-signed with the Packers. If he hasn't signed with the Packers, he's been talking about signing with the Packers.
Right.
Because basically saying, why would I want to go anywhere else? Because they want to win. And, Randall Cobb re-signed with the Packers. I mean, you have a quarterback that can lead you to, and
sure.
He
almost did it injured.
Yeah, exactly. They almost went to the Super Bowl last year.
A lot of almost.
Yes, they've only
almost
they've,
won the Super Bowl.
Except well,
this team.
But what I'm saying is that the Packers, right? But the Packers didn't get blown out in the game, or they weren't down.
No, they weren't embarrassed.
No, they weren't. The only thing that got embarrassed was that guy who didn't catch the ball on the kickoff.
Right.
But, I mean, the Packers re-signed their tackle, Beluga.
Right.
Yeah. And they re-signed
they'll
make
another
quarterbacks.
Run.
Oh, absolutely, they can make another
now,
run.
The Bears made a lot of signings on defense. They got Andre Roll. They got a bunch of guys.
Yes.
Their defense was horrible.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Got the coach fired.
It did. And that's the problem. Because, you talk about 10-6, Chip Kelly... He didn't want to stay stagnant at 10-6. I always go back to Lovie Smith was 10-6, and he got fired.
Right.
And they brought in Trestman, and that did not work out well.
No, that was a nightmare. I thought he was going to do something.
But, look, that was a great offensive team to start with, because you had Jay Cutler, you had Matt Forte, and Brandon Marshall all going to the Pro Bowl that last season.
Right.
So how are you going to improve an offense when the problem is the defense that you need to improve?
And they had an offensive coach, that's a nightmare.
Yeah, but they signed Antrell Roll.
Sure.
They signed, his name's Pernell McPhee. He's a defensive lineman from the Ravens. They got a wide receiver, not to necessarily take over the production that Brandon Marshall had. They signed Eddie Royal from the Chargers, but... Brandon Marshall got traded to the Jets as well, which, as a Jet fan, me personally, I'm looking forward to the 1-2 combo of Marshall and Decker. Who's going to throw to him? It's either going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick, who the Jets also got, and Geno Smith.
He's streaky, though. He can be real hot, and then all of a sudden something bad happens.
Absolutely, he can.
He's not too shabby.
No, he's a really good...
serviceable, I guess, is the word.
Absolutely, the game manager. You want to use that phrase with him. I think that's a fair thing to say. He's a game manager, and he's not too bad at it.
So not only do we have a lot of free agent signings, but trades. You don't really see... I mean, you see draft picks traded in the NFL. You see in the NBA signing trades.
Yes. The NFL trade is not... a common thing.
No, so it is this year.
It is this year between Foles for Bradford, Marshall for draft picks, LeSean McCoy. LeSean, we're talking about the Eagles. LeSean McCoy for Kiko Alonso.
Injured, who,
But
that's the Philadelphia Ducks now with 10 Oregon Ducks on that team.
Sure, sure. And I understand, look, that's happened in the past where head coaches.
You go with what you know.
You do go with but at the same time, you go with and you go with what's... Because he's also the GM at this point. You also go with what's more cost-effective. LeSean McCoy was what? How much was he going to make? $13 million?
Something crazy. They weren't going to pay that.
So they traded him for...
They got two guys.
Right. They got two guys. They got Kiko Alonso and pretty much Murray for the price of McCoy.
Now, what about the breakdown and the disassembling of the 49ers?
It happened. I mean, nothing stays forever.
So Harbaugh was the glue that kept that together.
Absolutely. And the only people that didn't like Harbaugh apparently were the people in the skyboxes who owned the team.
Now, were three guys on that team retired under 30 or under...
Yes, just the news.
Five in the league total. I mean, usually, you don't quit football. Football quits you.
True.
So
and
Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, there's a few guys that quit football. But generally speaking, football quits you.
Yeah, that happens to a lot of players. They think they, they play since they were little kids in high school, throughout college, and then for some reason either they just don't feel like in Chris, how do you say his last name? Bortland? Chris Bortland's case where he's looking around and he's seeing how all these older players are, they're affected by all the brain injury and all the stuff. And he's just saying he's not worth it. And he's out at age 24, we just found out today.
Yeah, well, has he been under a rock? I mean, he hasn't heard about this. All of a sudden he has enlightenment. I mean, how does this happen? Well, all of a sudden a guy, after playing a year, doing extremely well, 24 years old,
mm-hmm.
and now he decides, well, this could be risky.
Well, for a couple things. Number one is he took over for Patrick Willis last year,
right?
Who was out with injuries and concussions
and
the foot. Yes,
he's one of the ones that retired.
Yeah,
also
he's one of the. So
30.
I think that he's looking at what he replaced, and sort of the way the old sort of World War II idea of like you come in, you're fresh off the boat, and you're ready to fight,
right.
and you look around and you just see all these grizzled veterans, or even in Nam when you look around, you're like. Why even bother? I'm
what
just going to go.
What am I doing here?
Exactly. The other thing is, I don't think this was one of those rash decisions where you stop and go, all of a sudden, nope, I don't want to play anymore. It might have been knee-jerk. Yeah, it might have been one of those things like, you know what, I'm starting to think.
Well, he said he studied it. He talked to, you know, a lot of experts. He did all his homework after he signed.
And plus, you look around, you know, former players like, Dwayne Duerson,
right.
you know, Junior Seau, I mean... All these different guys. And then I was hearing stuff about Tony Dorsett, where he's talking about how he's, like, scared. He's scared of himself because
right.
just, like, those sort of rage things going on. And, you know, a lot of that ties back to the NFL. And, you know, the NFL came out and said, you know, we understand his concerns, but really we're looking good. You know, we have – no, but they're talking about how their intervention with brain injuries – and how to make the game safer.
And the juicy lawsuit that they settled that's favorable for them.
Yes, I saw that too.
So they're kind of past that
Look,
hurdle.
I'm just saying what they said. I'm not necessarily agreeing with
right,
them. I'm just putting
right.
it out there. So, but yeah.
Well, but there's three guys on that team. So you got Bortland, mm-hmm. The linebacker that replaced Willis.
Mm-hmm.
Willis is checking out. And you got Justin Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He's checking out of the Niners.
Yeah, three then Niners
players.
You got players.
Jake Locker, who says he's leaving because he lacks the burning desire to play for a living. Does that mean that your bank account's fat enough that you can...
No, I don't think so. Cause okay. not, especially somebody like... Here's the thing. You don't just fall into the NFL.
True.
You're there for a reason because
you
have the talent and you have the drive. Now, for some of them, the drive stops at a certain point. Is it because... You're not looking to, you know, you'd come into the NFL and you're looked at as a game manager in Locker's case, or even not a viable starter. Or do you think you're going to come in and just be, you know, Tom Brady? Or are you going to be all these different, you know, guys?
Well, he wasn't a premier player.
No,
but,
of course
I mean,
not.
Quarterbacks are paid well. So, you know, he had his run. Now, what about this linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers? He's 27 years old.
And what's his name again?
Jason Worlds, Worilds, right? 25 and a half sacks. I mean, that's not shabby, right?
That's not at all.
And he walks away from a $15 million contract to be a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, well, he came calling. But I'll be honest, I've said this. I have no idea who he is. I cannot first...
93 on the
Steelers. No, there have been a lot of 93... on the Steelers.
Right.
I mean, you know, there have been a lot of 90 guys on the Steelers.
Right,
but
right.
But, I mean, I cannot remember
okay.
him. I cannot remember
well,
him at all.
It's all true, and it's all
No,
real.
I believe you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things. But, yeah, sometimes, especially now, you know, with the injuries, with, you know, Vince Young, when a couple seasons ago when the Titans weren't doing good and they were looking
yeah.
just average, and Vince Young he just wasn't happy, and he left, and he went home to his mother. Like, he left the team, and he pretty much gave up on everybody, and it took him, like, a year to come back, and he's done nothing since, but I mean, he's out of football, but he couldn't take the pressure.
Well, I remember Bill Parcells saying that when you're thinking about retiring, you already have.
I think that's true.
So you're either in it all in, or you're all out.
Yeah,
I think you can't just bounce along.
No, you can't. I think that's true. So that's what's been going on in the NFL. And, well, let me ask you, which do you think is more interesting or exciting, NFL free agency or baseball free agency? The thing about the NFL free agency is it's very fast moving, and it's over so quickly. But that's the negative aspect of it. It's over so quickly.
Well, you know, it's a good question because I'm thinking that because I'm thinking, like, you're filling some voids, expensive way to do that in the NFL with free agency.
Right.
B- So to me, it's the draft in the NFL that's exciting.
Yes.
And in baseball, the draft, I can't name, you know, no. anybody that's drafted. And, you know, I just don't pay attention
you
to
that. You just hear about it, and there's so many different drafts.
So I'm thinking free agency in baseball, but I know the popularity of football. But,
right.
you know, I don't, you know, this year has been exceptional for, you know, so much movement of players.
Right.
In the NFL. So I think it's a little bit different. It seemed more exciting.
Well, it seemed very exciting. And especially because now the NFL's unhappy because you can talk to free agents beforehand, but almost like National Signing Day in college football, you know, there's a day where you can sign, but everything before that you can talk around. And then all these stories gets leaked. So it kind of takes away a little bit. Actually, the NFL's trying to
again,
stop
they
that.
Don't want to do anything about that. Because it adds to the popularity. I mean, anytime
True.
I can feel like I've got information that no one else has, meanwhile it's announced on ESPN, the whole world knows.
Yeah, exactly.
But somehow it's the insiders, you know, that they say. Well, you know, it's like
we're hearing.
It's like I'm telling you a secret. I mean, once I tell
I
you,
I have
not
from
a
good source that that stuff.
Sources that can't be named, and you know that, and along with police investigations, you hear that, you know, or government. investigations. You know, it makes us feel special.
And that's very true.
But talking about baseball,
yes.
I mean, I was hearing something that Pete Rose might be allowed to be involved in some baseball stuff.
Well,
is
Pete,
that possible?
Pete Rose has sent a letter to the new commissioner, Rob Manfred,
right.
For reinstatement. And, well, first of all, if there's any commissioner who's going to let him back in, it's probably going to be Manfred. I mean, this is a guy who's already gone on record as saying, I'd love to bring the baseball season back to 154 games.
I like that.
And he's talked about having the All-Star game, having the cities bid it out like the Super Bowl, like have it almost like a contest
right.
and a sweepstakes.
So
and
he
stuff.
Wants to invigorate the sport.
Yeah, he wants to do some things. And there was another thing that I was reading about. I forget what it was, but... you know, he's much more open to a lot of things, and he's looking for, you know, a way to change it. He's younger than...
It needs a spark.
Yeah, and I think something like Rose would be a spark. Now, also, because Cincinnati's got the All-Star game this year, and they are planning to have Pete Rose be a part of that.
Great.
Now, he's allowed to be... a part of, they've done this in the past.
Yeah.
They've made exceptions.
Sure.
Like when they did the All-Century team, he was allowed to come. So they're going to be making a big deal of Pete Rose at the All-Star game in Cincinnati.
Well, they need
year.
A lure because nobody's watching it.
No, and I think that's something you're going
to
see.
And I've had a change of heart about Pete Rose. I thought that because he lied and then he signed an agreement that he wouldn't, you know, be involved in baseball and all mm-hmm. this, that he was kind of stuck with his fate. But then after I'm watching the PEDs and how the management and the ownership turned a blind eye to this so that they could pocket money, and they kind of lost their moral authority to lead.
Absolutely.
I thought. So now I'm thinking, you know, this is for us, the fans. Gambling doesn't have the... he didn't gamble against his
no.
team. And the state has lotteries and, you know, gambling in Atlantic City,
sure.
Vegas.
And he was doing it at a time that, you know, he was the manager and even as a player. But this was before when a $1 million contract was a big thing. But now you look at the size of these contracts, no player bets no professional player bets.
For income.
No.
That's because they're not playing for the rent.
No. Because that's already taken care of.
It's billionaires paying millionaires.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the only ones who are really making a
but
problem.
But Pete Rose is excitement.
Yes.
It's a great story.
Yes.
I think.
It's redemption. And
well, it is, and that's a big part of sports.
Oh,
right?
Sports and this country.
Yeah. Because, and he's still alive, and
yes.
he's still exciting, and it's a great story.
Yes, absolutely. And spring training is going well for a lot of teams.
Except the Mets.
Well, they're doing fine. Well, they're doing fine, but the problem is that Zach Wheeler, he needs
and
Tommy.
And no lefty in the bullpen.
No, not right now, because Josh Edgerton.
How do you do that?
Well, you take one of your starters, one of your young starters, you put him in the bullpen maybe for a season. Rafael Montero, maybe somebody like that.
You wait for teams to cut
Steven
players.
Oh, yeah, of course you do, Steven Matz. But that's the thing. Well, first of all, at the beginning of the season, relievers don't get a lot of work. It's all about the starting pitchers getting work and building up their arm strength and their endurance. So early in the season, bullpens blow a lot of games. A lot. It takes, because they don't have enough time. They don't have enough time during the Grapefruit Leagues.
Starters don't go the distance.
No, they don't. And that's, you know, that's just, and they're definitely not going to do it at the beginning of the season either. Right. Honestly, what they should do is they should go to like 6-man rotations early in the season and have one of these long men be your sixth starter for like a week or two or something. You know, kind of just get those extra innings against real live, you know, in real live games. But
so is that a reason to change the season back?
To 154?
Yeah.
No, because that only affects the end of the season. That's not going to affect the beginning, because they're not going to start any later. It's still going to start in April. If anything, you're going to hope to avoid the bad weather late in October, because, you know, especially in the Northeast, there's been a lot of, right. you know, early snowstorms and
so
hurricanes.
What's the reason?
I forget what he talked about, what Manfred talked about with turning it back.
Same amount of money for these contracts, just less... Those days working.
I guess. I don't know. But it
sounds like the school calendar.
Yeah, but it's not going to go through because the owners aren't going to give up 8 games. They're not. They're not going to give up 8 games. So that's not going to happen. What they need to do is they need to confine.
Bring back the doubleheader.
Yes. Here's my idea. Doubleheaders, Mother's Day and Father's Day. You start there. And then maybe a doubleheader on the 4th of July.
Well, with the divorce rate so high, you could bring one mom or dad to the first. And
but here's the thing.
The
but here's the thing how it'll work out well. Because what do they do? What does Major League Baseball do on those days? They have the pink bats, the blue armbands. You know, every home run that's hit is a $10,000 to
donation.
Susan G. Komen or the, was it, Prostate Cancer Research
Fund.
You do that. Double the amount of games. That ups your donation, makes you look better.
Well, I think from a management point, you're on to something. From a union point, we're not interested in, you know, doing that kind of stuff, I think would be the word.
Right. Look, I understand that. And, you know, even people talk about, you know, oh, well, the owners aren't going to like that because they want to get a whole new slate of people
Ernie
in there.
Banks passed away.
Yes, he did.
Not too long ago.
Very sadly, yes.
Let's Play 2 is over.
No. But I just think that would be perfect. If I were commissioner, that'd be the first thing I would want to implement. Doubleheaders on Mother's Day and Father's Day, maybe 4th of July.
Now, what about 3 balls and 3 strikes? What are they giving them 4 balls for? The pitcher has such a usage. Don't go there?
No.
You're a traditionalist.
No. Well, who did that? Charlie Finley did that.
Well, wanted to.
Well, he tried it in
he did? How?
In preseason games. Or in spring training games. It didn't work out well.
He also wanted a yellow ball instead of white, so it would have contrast against the white shirts and the... but most of...
No, that didn't work either.
You're not going for that.
I'm not looking for crazy things.
Like moving fences around?
No. That stuff's... Although I don't like wacky angles. I think I'm done with that. I like uniform sort of outfields. So that you can deal with height of... You know, but don't do like, oh, this is a short porch. Oh, this is an overhang. Oh, this is a deep. Here's the thing in the flagpoles in center field. There's a hill that goes. I'm not for that. But the gameplay itself is fine. I love the
what
clock.
What about speeding up the game?
Well, they
have
the clock.
Now.
Have you seen the pitching clock?
I have, yeah.
Okay, so batters can't step out of the batter's box without being granted a reason to. Pitchers have to deliver the ball.
A reason to. Now, I wonder if they're going to have a compilation. Is that the word?
Compilation, yeah.
Yeah, of excuses why they need this.
Well, I got something in my eye. I've got, you know.
Well, it's a lot of reaching
sneezes.
Towards the groin, so, you know, I don't know what that's about.
I know, but you've actually, in spring training games, because they're trying to implement the rule,
right.
And they're very liberal with it, so you see players, like older players, like Ryan Howard and A-Rod, they'll step out and they realize, oh, I got to get back in, because if they do it too often, that's the thing, if it happens
well,
too often.
Call a strike?
Yeah. You get an automatic strike added to your count if you abuse it. And so they're going to keep track of that. And plus,
and
the
pitchers, reason for that is?
To speed up the game.
So that. Under 3 hours?
Yeah. So people will hopefully want to take an interest in the game because it takes forever. It's a chess game. And especially now because you've got all the stuff about, you know, money ball, you know, take pitches, you know, work the count, get
right.
I mean, a Yankee
right.
Red Sox game is nigh on
brutal.
Yes. It's numbing. It's brain numbing.
So you think what it'll take a full season to get this, or more than one?
Well, they're not going to implement it, I believe, during the season. I could be wrong, like the clock and the stuff like that. I forget how it's going to work. But it'll take a little while. It's not going to take too long to get into it. But especially during October, they don't start these World Series games until 8:30. 8:30 at night.
No, that's... What if you're a kid? How are you going to get kids to watch that?
They don't care.
That's your new fans.
They don't care.
Well,
see, if you're a baseball fan, the best thing for you could for you to be...
Young kids don't know Pete Rose.
The best thing for you to be is a West Coast, is to live on the West Coast. If you're a baseball fan, just move out to the West Coast because you get the games earlier.
Right.
You know, if it's a World Series game, oh, wow, that game starts at 5:30.
But don't most of the players, I mean, a lot of players come from California.
Yeah. Well, that's because they can play it year-round as well.
Yeah, so you got
Florida.
The double advantage.
Yeah,
you can watch the game and play it.
Sure, absolutely. It all works like that. All right, Dad. Well, thank you very much for joining me.
Okay, son.
Spring is almost here. The tournament is going to be revving up real quick. Very exciting. Baseball season is going to start soon, and lo and behold, the draft will be here for the NFL. So
great.
Thanks very much for joining us on this episode of Everyman Sports. I'd like to thank all my Twitter followers. Thank you for following and keeping up with us. The phone number again is 626-427-7678. You can call, leave a message, and you can be a part of the show, ask questions, leave comments, and you can also find us on Twitter at Everyman Sports, at Everyman Sports. Thank you very much. Take it away, Andrew.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.